Jessica is a social media strategist known for her outspoken dedication to relationship marketing. Jessica's personal mission is to inspire people to love more, give more, and more, be more through using authentic relating in their everyday relationships. And I just want to say she lives and breathes this. She founded Now Marketing in 2010 with only a laptop and a vision. The company is now a Forbes recognized agency partner and a certified inbound. Woo! All right. And a recognized agency partner and a certified inbound partner with HubSpot. Now Marketing Group works with more than 100 clients across the United States and beyond, choosing to serve, not sell. Jessica teaches comprehensive relationship marketing, presents in a weekly video cast, Magnet Marketers, with my friend Mike Gingrich, and hosts one of the largest social media Midwest conferences, Social Media Week Lima. I got it, right? All right, and I'd love to introduce and welcome the kindest person I know, and she's all about relationships, Miss Jessica Phillips. Give it up! Woo!
Thank you. Isn't she the sweetest? Yeah, I love it. No, I really do believe that relationships will always be more powerful than marketing, and I can prove it. And my personal mission is to inspire others to love more, give more, and be more within their personal and their business lives, using relationships to form connections and to grow their business sustainably. See, I have personal experience with this myself, actually. Yes, my business is turning 10 years old next month. Woo! Freeing, so crazy and exciting. But it didn't start out that way. See, I worked in telecommunications back in the day where it was like the Zach Morris phones. That's like for real, like what they looked like. And my job was to tell people about data and text messaging and photo messaging. And you should have seen the faces. You guys probably can't imagine it now. I've been with a few people having conversations where they get a phone call and they're like, what's wrong? Why are they calling me? Instead of just texting me. But at the time when I was trying to sell this service, people said, I just need my phone to make phone calls. I don't need all this data tech stuff, right? I thought I had my forever job because I was in love with technology and working at Verizon at the time. I started out as customer service rep, worked my way up through sales to then be a store manager and a distribution partner. And all the while, I was using relationships and connecting with the people that were right in front of me to learn what a day in their life looked like in order to have them see how they could find photo or text messaging or data even fitting into their daily life because they didn't have the need there. Well, long story short, I was diagnosed with a chronic pain condition and was no longer able to work anymore. I was devastated. I thought I had my forever job, and lo and behold, now I'm stuck in a hospital with no income, a family to provide for, and only the relationships with the companies that I've worked with and made to help me make it through. And funny thing, I love the law of alignment, the law of the universe. Everything happens for a reason, right? Even though I was devastated at that time, the crazy thing was I had these phone calls from the customers that I was working with as a distribution partner, these companies calling me, asking me questions about social media. So this was the day that social media was just coming out too. And I was taking what they were doing in their businesses because they had no marketing budget and helping them tell their story authentically on social media. So something clicked. I was like, oh, I can work when I feel well. And now maybe social media can be where I work. And that's what I did. So I started Now Marketing Group in 2010. Luckily, I found some great holistic remedies, and I'm not suffering as much from that chronic pain condition. But this is the day where now 90% of all buying decisions start online today. Every business that we're in, it's really a sea of samesies. I guarantee you, I work with some of the most boring niche businesses that there are on the planet. I'm talking about a company that cuts holes in the ground, Mr. Manhole, and we've used relationship marketing tactics as well as nuclear pharmacy. But every business, even those businesses, have someone that does that thing that they do. We're amongst a sea of samesies. There's more options than ever before. So with all 90% of buying decisions starting online, what makes our brand stand out? And what makes them want to choose our business over someone else? We hope that they're finding us during the 60% of the buying cycle where companies and are trying to put their messaging out there, and we hope that our personalities are going to convince somebody to want to work with us. But 60% of the buying cycle is over before your customer even gets to talk to a representative at your business. It's over. So what is happening during this time to where we now can hopefully connect with our customer in a meaningful way that makes them not only want to choose us, but keep choosing us again and again? This is where relationship marketing comes into play. Because I firmly believe it's not what we do, but it's how we do it. It's how we do that thing that we do and why we do it that's going to make somebody choose us and want to stick with us. So if you think about that in terms of anything that we're doing in our business, even though we're selling this thing, and I love this question I ask all of our customers, who's your ideal target audience group? And what do you think the most common answer is back? Anyone that wants to buy from me, right? And that's not true, unless you're selling air or water, but I'm even going to tell you stories about water today, that this becomes true as well. It's not what we do, but it's how we do it. And I want this statement to be, if you don't take anything else out of this session, to be what sticks in your mind. Because it's the truth. Now today, with these buying decisions starting online and this sales process where they're looking out and trying to compare one business over another, do I choose you or do I choose your business? What's going to make that deciding factor if I choose one or another? Chances are we're looking online, we're seeing what other people are saying about your companies, right? What are they saying about their experience? Do I feel like you could really serve my needs as a customer? And it used to be word of mouth is that number one deciding factor, but now it's word of mouth. If we look on Amazon and consider peer reviews, do we really know those people that are reviewing these companies? No. But are we trusting those reviews as if we did know them? Yes. Do we feel more confident about going to a restaurant when we're here in San Diego when that restaurant has 4 stars or 5 stars on it, or where we're picking a hotel room? So here's the shift. Now people are making these buying decisions online and are looking for reviews and seeing what other people are saying about a business, so they want to choose our business over another. Why shouldn't we focus our sales process on trying to get more customers that love our business? If we could rethink the sales funnel, because I go out on a limb and I get criticized for it sometimes, but I'm going to still stand by my message. I think the sales funnel's dead. I think it's broken. I think it's wrong now because it's not how we're working as a society today. The sales funnel says you bring people into the top, you bullhorn your message out, you put all these marketing messages out there, they come to the top of your funnel, we do some trickery and convince them to buy from us, and then they drop out the bottom, and now we just gotta keep dumping more sales and leads in. But if we know that word of mouth is our number one referrer of sales, and people are already starting their buying decisions online, what if we focused on the audience that already loved us, that already chose working with us, and we just empower them to love us more, for them to amplify our message and refer us on, and that they become our marketing army for us? What if we flipped it and focused on this flywheel effect, which I'm going to break down, but I know we're going to get some criticism here. I'm a sales funnel hacker. I know my sales funnel process works, but with the growth of dark social that we're going to talk about and the growth of some of these other social media channels, I promise you, if we focus on our existing audience that already loves us, you're going to have sustainable growth. So we're going to break this down. It's all about out-caring your competition. Caring standing for capturing our attention of our ideal audience, articulating our message so our people can refer us on, building real relationships, and growing in exceptional experiences. And we're going to break down each of these steps here. But is turning our followers in on our page to real fans? Because I promise you there's a difference. There's a difference of people just following you to people that are like, I'm going to share everything that you say. I'm tagging you. I am a fan of yours for life. Clients into true advocates for your business. People that are willing to give you that testimonial and that referral. Community, which is a big one, into collaborators. Community and building community was the best thing I could have done for my business. And what community means is connecting with like-minded people that align with your beliefs, that are potentially in your space. There's enough work for all of us, but combining your forces together to really build relationships and add value in what you're sharing out there. And then your team members into evangelists for your business. Because your team members are a really good sales army for you as well. When we can focus on shifting the mindset and focusing on creating momentum in our business, of turning those clients into advocates, our fans into real fans for us instead of just followers, our team members into evangelists, here's what happens. We have this momentum growth, and this is where our sales start coming in. Now we're expanding outward, and it's all about building momentum. If you search for a flywheel, I encourage you to create a flywheel for your business. You'll find some like Amazon, HubSpot has a flywheel. There's some really good ones that are out there that really talk about how can we make this shift and really focusing on getting our audience to love us even more. So going back to water. Everybody loves water, right? Everybody needs water. So if that was our audience, we were selling water bottles, you'd think anybody could be their customer. But if you ever typed in Google and searched for a water bottle, I guarantee you're going to get a lot of them out there. Unless you're in Hydro Flask and selling to the Visco girls, you might have to do something a little different for your marketing, right? This is one of our clients, 50 Strong. And they had this exact problem. They actually are in the small town of Lima, Ohio, where I live in. And they started working with this company out of New York, and they were just wanting to get their message out there. Their name, 50 Strong, because they wanted to keep jobs here in America. So they're like, oh, we're just going to put this America-focused message that are out there. Unfortunately for them, this was during the election time of the first Trump election. So can you guess all the people that were on their social pages were like 50-year-old white men that did not care about their water bottles at all. So they were having a little struggle here. Now, 50 Strong already had a great brand. They're selling in Walmarts, they were selling on Amazon, but they were getting no traffic on their website. The only thing that they were competing on against another water bottle versus them was price. Anybody have a Seth Godin fan in here? Freaking love Seth Godin, right? And he says the race to the bottom, the fastest race to the bottom is competing on price. Because anyone's just going to keep dropping it down, dropping it down. It's not building loyal fans. People don't care about what you're talking about. They're just buying a thing from you for a certain price. So we worked with 50 Strong. Instead, we said, okay, what is it that you really do? Focusing on that C, capturing attention. We looked at them and said, what is your real story? You're not in the water bottle business, but what is it that you really do at the center of your business? If we think about it, if we're thinking about we're selling water bottles, eyeglasses, whatever it is that you do, I don't care if you're a marketing agency or have a business, your thing that you do isn't the thing that you do. It's really what is at the heart of what you're trying to do. So for 50 Strong, they wanted to help people create exceptional experiences in their daily life. That's what they're really at the heart of what they're trying to do. They just happen to sell water bottles. So we worked with them to help them create their belief statements. What do they really believe? Simon Sinek calls this start with why. I like to dive deeper and call it a brand manifesto. It's a lot different than a tagline or a mission statement. A brand manifesto is what you believe at your center, your core. It's your statement. It's the only statement that you have in business that actually has your customer as part of your story. How many of you heard of a brand manifesto before? I bet you have actually even heard of it if you didn't think you did. I'm going to read one from Apple. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do. Any Apple fans in here? Does that not just keep like riled up? Like I'm like, woo, yeah, Apple. Okay, right? It doesn't say anything about selling computers or data in there. It's what their brand manifesto is. And if you, it's not like they're putting this message all the way out there, but if you look at any television commercial they've done, any social post they've done, and align it to this brand manifesto, it aligns in tone. And that's the difference. That's not what we do, but how we do it, right? If you can create this brand manifesto, what is it we're trying to do, and then match all your content up against it, it starts having a heart. And that's the thing that actually people will care about because they sense that you have a personality, you have a mission that's bigger than just selling them something. So we created a brand manifesto for 50 Strong. It's a water bottle company, but this was the shift that started happening. Not only that, we started helping them create who their ideal audience is. But I want to play their manifesto video for you just so you can get a sense of how this can be done in just a water bottle company.
for the moms and dads going strong all day and night. For the entrepreneurs doing the hard work to make their dreams a reality. For the hometown heroes risking their lives. The teachers and coaches raising up the next generation of innovators, engineers, artists, and athletes. For the new beginnings and the times you just want a fresh start. For the everyday meaningful moments. For all those who choose to live an extraordinary life, paving their own path. To all those who inspire others to show up strong. This is for you. Together, we are 50 strong.
Woo! I know, I get excited every time I watch it too. This is a water bottle company, so it can be done literally with any business. But we didn't stop there, right? We wanted to know who they served. And I love this statement that they put in there when they really got it. They said, 50 Strong isn't about the product. It's not. It's about the people, the lives that they're living. And this, all this is part of their brand kit, by the way. We took everything that we created and we put it into a brand kit. And I'm going to give you guys the formula for this at the end. You're going to have a full workbook so you can do all of this for yourself, okay, with lots of guides and examples in there. And I know I had a lot of you that messaged in on the app, by the way, and told me different businesses, like the furniture business and several others of you guys messaged into the app. I have not forgot about you. We're going to be doing a session after this. I'll do a private table session where I have examples for you, too. But your message is bigger than your product or service. So when you get the messaging right, then everything else starts aligning. You're like, now I actually know what to post on social because now I know who I'm talking to and what we're all about. Now it's easier to come up with things to say. It's easier to know who you're talking to on the other end of the screen when you actually put together a buyer persona or an avatar, whatever you want to call it. Because we did this for them, and now we're imagining every single social post that we put out. Instead of just writing it, we're reading it. If I'm talking to Harper, I want to write out my social post, and not just write it out, I want to read it out loud, or say it out loud, I should say. Because then I want to feel like it's a conversation. Social media is a conversation. So if you are one that writes your social post ahead of time, we do 30 days at a time. We write our social post for the client first, and then we read them out loud to each other to make sure that it's sounding like a conversation that our persona would enjoy. And when it comes to a persona, it's really thinking about not just their demographics, but what does this person care about? What does a day in their life look like? Where are they hanging out? So like Harper, she's fans of Ellen, right? She watches O on Oprah. So guess where we're hanging out too and engaging in the social post? Where our audience is hanging out. When you can get specific on your audience, now you know what they want, what social platforms that you should be spending your time on, where you want to hang out as far as what other people are reading, what they're watching, according to your buyer personas. What kind of imagery that you're going to be using that's going to align with this person. What kinds of contests and things that you're going to be putting together that's really going to align with them. Imagining that you're talking to a person on the other end of the screen, that's how you'll capture attention. You capture attention when it's meant for the person that you're wanting to capture the attention of. Next, we list out our goals. What are we trying to accomplish? Because if we're set up on social media, it's not just to put more noise out there. There's definitely enough of that out there. I think we can all agree, right? Well, what are our goals? What are we trying to accomplish so we know what to measure ourselves again? And we've shifted our mindset from just getting people to buy from us to getting them to belong with us. And now 50 Strong has this tribe of people that are just like them. They share in community with each other. And it's not just this feel-good stats. I'm about the money, too. I mean, we're not here just to have fun. Here's the breakdown of what this has done in a year's time for a water bottle company. Granted, our social media stats are great, but if I know if I have my business owners in here or the people that are trying to prove ROI to keep their job, it boils down to the numbers that happen on the home base, and that's where sales happen, is on the home base, your website, not social media. Social media is to encourage your audience, to get them to know you, like you, trust you, refer you, and then the sales happen on your website. So in a year's time, comparing year over year, they've had over 311
69% new sessions. They've had 59% more sessions per person. They've had new users, but my favorite, repeat users. Repeat people coming back wanting more. Because it's easy to sell some to somebody once, but to be a craveable brand, you gotta keep them coming back. Their bounce rate went down and their average session duration went up. This has increased their business 331% ROI on their website in a year's time, just by focusing on relationship marketing tactics. And you know the funny part? Their likes went down. We lost a lot of likes, which was a good thing. Because the people that they had on their page were these 50-year-old white men that did not care about what they had to say. And I was like, then that's fine. We don't need them on your page. We want a community of people that are belonging with us. I don't care about the likes. I'm not counting the likes. I could care less about that. I want to have engagement, community, people that actually care about what we're talking about. So don't get caught up on that. Don't count your likes. Stop counting the likes. Only count the conversations that your pages are bringing in. The conversations are what matter. And actually, if you look at what Facebook and Instagram are doing, what are they doing now? They're removing the like counts. So you're not even going to be able to see it anyway, right? So it doesn't matter. Just start counting the conversations and see what people are saying about you. Because if they love working with you and they're engaging with you, they're going to ensure that their friends are doing business with you too. They're going to refer you on. That's the biggest part of capturing attention. So to recap that, know your audience, know your brand tone. Consider making a brand manifesto for your business. Have your own images, for God's sakes. Let's not do stock imagery anymore. Or if you do, use unsplash.com because it doesn't look as bad like stock photos, right? And know where you want to go. Then you can work backwards from there. Articulating our message. If we want our audience to share our story on, we have to make it stupid simple for them to be able to do so. If somebody can't articulate what you do, how in the world are they going to refer you on to someone else? Part of that will come from your brand manifesto and your tones, your I believe statements that we'll be creating, and I'll give you, like I said, the workbook to do so. But the other comes into what you're just putting out, making it stupid simple to get your audience involved and making it easy for them to share your story. Some of this we heard yesterday from like Anne Hanley. She was talking about, you know, how to get people into your story. She's a brilliant storyteller, by the way. I was like, I give up. I just bow to you, Anne Hanley. I am not worthy. But making it easy for you and your audience to share your messaging. So I'm going to give you a couple examples just in the context of the water bottle company 50 Strong. One of the things we did is we knew that their audience, Harper, she's a mom, she's a worker, she's someone that gets really, you know, on the go, loves her community. So instead of what they were doing, what 50 Strong was doing, was paying this newer company to buy influencers to take a picture with their water bottle. They didn't care anything about their water bottle. They were paying a ridiculous amount of money. We were like, we're going to flip this and do this a different way. We're actually going to find real women that are rocking it, have other women nominate them, and we're going to give them this message and tell them why we're nominating them as this amazing, inspiring woman. We're going to make them the influencer. That post alone, one post, shared over 1,200 times. Oh, just an everyday woman. Beat out what they were paying $10K for an influencer. Way more impactful. Do you think her mom, this woman that was nominated, and all her friends are going to be more loyal to 50 Strong after that? Hell yes. They don't, you know, they don't care about the influencer. The other one is getting the audience involved with the designs. We're like, hey, what do your kids want this year? So we did things like, you know, sloths, and they were just sending in all kinds of nominations for different designs. One of the most famous water bottles was, this may be tequila, it might be water. I was like, I like your suggestion. I like the way you guys think. So we're getting them involved in the process. Now they feel like they have ownership. They're belonging to the company, right? They're getting them connected with it. Another way of articulating your message is getting your audience involved. This is something I do. Every blog post that I put out, I make sure that it's featuring someone else in it. And it's not one of those things, and I hate this when people are like, just tag a bunch of people on LinkedIn so you can get them to comment. People can tell when you're doing it for that reason. That annoys the crap out of me, honestly. But when you go and you write an article and you say, I really genuinely value your input and would love for you to participate in this article because your input is great, put it together, create images for it, and share it with that audience. And guess who's sharing that article out? Everyone that's featured in it. One of them was just, hey, all these amazing women in digital you should be following. And I literally just wrote what I adored about each one of them in the post. We've done this for companies like real estate companies where we're asking home stagers, you know, and home inspectors to give us their best tips on selling a home faster. Collaborated that article for a real estate company. Think about who in your community can you align with that would make sense to have an article that would add value to share with your audience. Or simply articulating your message through a video email. Video and audio emails, or video and audio messages, I should say, are some of the best ways of communicating back and forth that is personalized. All of these articles get shared a lot because they're featuring others in it, and it's serving. Who in here has heard of dark social? Ooh, love it. This is said to have 80% of our website traffic is now from dark social, which means people are communicating in the inbox. They're communicating in private communities. We want more intimate conversations. And if any of it, we've seen this from the app, from Social Media Examiner's app, how many freaking meetups were there in this app? People want small, intimate communities. Anybody in Bella Vasta's session yesterday on Facebook groups? Woo woo, that was freaking amazing. But she was talking about Facebook running this television commercial on Facebook groups. Do you think they might have a little investment in that? They're taking some Super Bowl commercials out on private groups. And it's not just a group with your business name, but it's a group around a common purpose that people can add value and have feel part of this belonging within this community. This is where people are going. The fan pages, and I think a lot of us have seen a little decrease in the engagement on our business pages, if we're honest, right? Unfortunately. But if we can focus on articulating our message and building community, like creating a Facebook group or having a messenger on your website to get the conversation started, it's free. Facebook gives you an option to go into your messenger business page and create a Facebook messenger that can be part of your website to give you a chat with us for free right there. In the workbook I'll give you, it has a video on how to get that set up. To get the conversation started. Articulating our message. Focus on ways that you can collaborate. Make it stupid simple for people to know what you do. Feature others. Make it about them, not just about you. Ask engaging questions. And just keep it simple and consistent. Simple and consistent. Relationships, my favorite part of the care. How many of you have been to Social Media Marketing World every year since it started? A few of us. A few of us, yeah. So I started, I'm coming from little town Lima, Ohio, right? And I'm walking and I'm like, holy crap, there's a lot of people here. Oh my God, how do I stand out amongst these sea of people? And so I started just networking with people because you know how the networking usually goes. They come up and they're like, hi, my name is Jessica. I do this. What do you do? And really, we're not listening. We're just like focused on what we're going to say next. So I was like, okay, I can't do this. There's no way that we're going to remember each other's name or stand out or even have a conversation worth anything unless we really get past it all. When I say that I love authentic relating, it means getting to the stuff that's under the surface and like, hey, what's your superpower? What's your kryptonite? I want to know because that's memorable. So came to this event. I became known as the s'mores lady because I was like, okay, this is all great and everything. There's a bunch of us here, but let's go have s'mores tomorrow night and wine. And some of the people from like Australia, they're like, what the heck is a s'more? And I was like, I'm going to show you. I'm from the Midwest. This is what we do. Food campfires. And wine, and it was fun. So we built real community there. So from this community, though, I got super inspired because I came to Social Media Marketing World the very first year. It actually encouraged me to keep going with my business because I was told I was crazy when I was starting a digital marketing agency in an area that has population 30,000 people and are just known for trains. The closest airport's 2 hours away. But I got inspired by this community. I was like, there's other people like me out there. I'm not as weird as I thought. We're all weird. It's great. But created this community there. And I said, you know what? I want to build a conference of my own. I want to do Social Media Week Lima. And I was like really excited to start this up. And luckily, I've been able to have some of the most amazing speakers that are willing to come into Lima, Ohio to speak on the stage there. Speakers that get paid a lot of money that I can't afford to pay them to speak in Lima, Ohio. But here's the key with this. I didn't ask them right away. And this is something that Anne was talking about yesterday, if you heard her closing keynote. When we're focused on building relationships with our community and with those that we care about, it takes time. You've got to put in the work first and take what you would think would be a waste of your time because you're in a smaller community. When we first started with S'mores, there were maybe like 8 of us there, and then it grew from there. And you would think, oh, I might have better odds if I actually went into this big networking party and being able to meet with a lot more people instead of focusing on 8 people. But I guarantee you, those 8 people then connected me to another 8 people and another 8 people where we actually really cared and had some stake in each other's lives. And by that, it grew over time to then where you feel comfortable enough to ask them for something. So what this looks like in your business, or what it could look like in your business, is focusing on who you want to build community with, growing it over time, and then looking at what you can turn that into later. It has also helped that in Lima we have personalized bobbleheads that we gave all the speakers. So it gave them something to talk about, right? And it helped to grow the community there. Because now, not only are we building relationships, we're personalizing the experience that we're having with them and giving them something to talk about. So think about what you could gift or what you can do in your business that is personalized, that's going to make it memorable. It can't just be with the owner, though. It's everyone that's in the company. It has to thread through and start from the inside out. This will only work if everyone's bought into it. And what's cool about this, as we're doing the event, we're getting ready for Social Media Week Lima, I walk into my team members. First of all, they're drawing on their computer, which I about had a heart attack. But second thing, then I realized what they were actually doing. They were creating the name tags for the bags for the speaker gifts that the bobbleheads were going to be in. And they didn't want to just make any name tag, and they definitely didn't want my handwriting. So they created a really customized Canva name tag for each person. And then they took their computer over and traced it out. When I walked into that, I was like, that's what I'm talking about. You care enough about the littlest detail. People will then care and know that you took your time to put your heart into it. The littlest detail. I didn't ask them to do that. So it has to be something that's thread throughout your whole company. To delight, deliver, and do it again. Everything that we do should be focused on delighting our audience through the littlest of things. Things that we don't even think maybe would matter. They may have just ripped open that bag, but it still mattered. Because we want to make sure that we're delighting everything that we're doing. Because that's what's going to get people talking. That's what they're going to share. And that's when they're going to be willing to stick up for you and say, hey, no, you need to choose this company over another. Building real relationships. Focus on sending personalized messaging. Focus on one-to-one impact that's going to have a ripple effect. Whether it's just one message at a time, it grows and builds from there. Add in delight. Look at every stage of your buying process and what you're doing on social and see where can we add a level of delight? Where can we reduce friction in our business? Where could we potentially send a personalized card to someone? Or we do what's called a sugar wish at Now Marketing Group, where we send out a sugar, it's a digital candy store Evite, where we just tell someone thank you and then they get to be a kid in a candy store. It's amazing. Then they get it sent to them in the mail, their favorite nostalgic candy. Find little things that you can do to add that level of delight that people are going to want to share and talk about. Because people expect us to do what we say we're going to do and what they're paying us for, right? But when you can go and do that a step further, that's when they're going to be willing to share it on. The E in care is exceptional experiences. An experience is a verb. It's how you make people feel. And that's how we know it's got to be real, right? When we start from the very, very beginning of what we're talking about in that brand manifesto, people can feel if you're genuine or not. When you focus on experience, this is what's going to be the difference. So I actually had an experience with HostGator, which I've been a customer with them for 10 years. And they actually took my websites down on accident, so I thought, because of an email that didn't come to me. Okay? Been a customer with them for 10 years. So I give them a chance. I'm like, look, we build websites. I get it. I'll give them 24 hours. They'll get it back up. I call after the 24 hours. And it's just like they could care less, right? The customer service rep that I got on the phone with. So now I'm just like agitated. I'm like, I'm trying to help you out here. Like, help me help you. I just want my websites back up, please. I'm getting ready to go to social media marketing world. I can't have the website. It's like 404. It's not going to happen here. Well, I get passed along to 3 customer service reps. None of them cared at all. But I go on social, and the very first thing, well, first, the very first thing that happened was all these other hosting companies like, hey, how you doing? I can help you out. Is it time to change hosting companies? And I was like, maybe. Just a minute. We'll talk about this here in a second. But that's what they did, because that's what companies will do. There's always someone there ready to take on a customer that you're willing to lose, if you're willing to lose it, right? But I went onto social. I said this. I get a message in from HostGator into my Twitter, and this is their social media team. And she is somewhat apologetic, but sticking up for her team. But then here's what she did afterward. She said, okay, I'm going to give you $100 credit on your account. And because you're really a good customer, we're going to send you HostGator swag. That's not a gift. You know, it's not a gift when you're sending me your swag. I'm not really excited about it. It's just owning the experience that you're providing. If we do something wrong, we have to own it. Now, granted, they did call me back. I'm still a HostGator customer. I'll still stick with them. But it's now I'm not as loyal to this brand, right? These other companies I got my eye on, and maybe losing some of our experience with me as a customer, because it has to start internal. It's not just the marketing team that's going to make the company look good. It has to be everyone on the team that is willing to put their name out there and really realize that every client and customer is important. We have to focus on speed, accessibility, and ease of use with our business too. Because just like HostGator, when I was trying to go online and get help, all of us as consumers want to get information, access to information easily online, and want to help ourselves as much as we can until we can't. Then we want a real person there to answer our questions and be there for us, to help us along the way and make sure that we are able to be helped. We have both of those things in place. So focus on frictionless onboarding, making sure that you're following up with your customer to keep in touch with them to see how they're feeling about your company. Look at ways that potentially you could have some groups in place that are all about treating your audience like a VIP experience. And truly care about the feedback that you're receiving from your audience, and don't send them a swag if they're having a bad experience. When they're having a good experience, yeah, okay, sure. Because they're a true fan of yours at that point. But bad experience, no. Do what you do so well that your audience is going to want to see you do it again. That's my favorite quote by Walt Disney. That's how we know that we've really won. Because anyone can show you how to use social media to make a post and give you some hacks there. But none of it's going to matter is if we don't have it at the core of who we truly are as a company and a culture that really are showing up to care and add value and using social media the way it was intended to build relationships, right? Relationships will always be more powerful than marketing. Now, I want to give you this workbook to take you through all the steps that we just talked about here. So if you go to bit.ly/caremore, take a moment and start writing out your brand manifesto, your personas. It'll walk you through every step of this, as well as coming up with a year worth of content for you to start using on social media to amplify your message and keep your audience coming back for more. If you'd like to dig in deeper and have a relationship marketing session specific to your business, I'm going to have a small group. It's only open to the first 50 people that get there today at 305 in room 26B. So if you want to dig in and find out some examples for your industry and go through this process with you one-on-one, you'll have the workbook with you, you can join me today in room 305. I care a lot. It's kind of my thing. I am so in awe that you guys picked this session to hang out with me today to go through this. I am super stoked to see all of your businesses rock out this year and grow your have your business have sustainable growth in the future. I'll be here for some questions as well. Thank you.